Hi there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Friday, and you know what we do every Friday. We look at the Mass readings for the upcoming Sunday. So today, we're going to be taking a look at the Mass readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Got some good ones there, and in addition, we will feature an interview with Dr. Alan Schreck from Franciscan University of Steubenville about the Holy Spirit. Dr. Schreck has written several books about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be confusing sometimes. I think often he is the least misunderstood and often forgotten person of the Trinity. Wouldn't you agree? How much do you really know about the Holy Spirit? But yet, he's so important because he resides inside of you. So we will talk with Dr. Schreck about the Holy Spirit, and I think you'll enjoy that interview. Great to hang out with you on this day. Thanks again for tuning in. Really means a lot to me that we can spend this time. Hope you've brought a beverage. I just realized I forgot my beverage. I had a can of Coca-Cola sitting here, sitting on the table, but I'm not leaving now. I forgot to bring it in with me. So if you have your beverage, if you have your snack, that's fine. I'll make it through. We're going to talk about Jesus. Love to talk about Jesus with you. I thank you for your comments. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your financial donations to enable me to keep going forward with my apostolate. Summer's tough. I was looking at the numbers today. It's tough, but you're helping me, and I'm really, really grateful for that. Please keep the prayers coming. And if you're able to make a donation, please consider doing so. Followingthetruth.com. Just click on donate. You are really the reason why I'm able to keep going for 5.5 years now, believe it or not, full-time. The radio show, the different podcasts, the books. I mean, it's all because of people like you who support me. I get a little bit here, a little bit there, but your donations are critical. So I really want to thank you for that. And just so you know, it really means a lot to me that you believe me, that you believe in me enough to be able to do that. Now, please also remember the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That is available at followingthetruth.com. Just go and click on the button that says Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's the easiest way to find it. If you're a worrier or if you know somebody who is, make sure you check that out. Also, final piece of news, if you want to invite me to your parish, would love to speak at your parish, your conference, leader retreat, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, business is out of the way. You know what it's time for? It is time to pray. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pause for a minute and remember that we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We're in the presence of Jesus, the spiritual presence of Jesus, as well as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right inside of us, so that's even better. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to help us with whatever we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to another day. We're alive, Father. That's a good start. We thank you for that. We thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating us to live with you forever in heaven. We know that is what your ultimate goal is for us. We also, Father, ask you to help anyone who is sick today. So many people who are sick with chronic or serious illnesses, whatever they may be, we ask you to heal them. We ask you to help anyone who is anxious, anyone struggling with doubt or despair, anyone dealing with any kind of addiction. Father, we ask you to increase vocations to the religious life, to the priesthood, to the diaconate. We also ask that you bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please put an end to abortion. Please bring about peace in the world. And we ask for the protection of all those who may be suffering from any form of religious persecution. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit today to speak through me. Give me the words as I look at sacred scripture. Give me the words so that your message can go forth from my mouth during this program. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. One piece of business that I forgot to mention, total consecration begins here on September the 4th. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you tell your friends. We're going to be preparing to consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary. For I think this is my 7th consecutive year that I've done this. I've got to start getting the word out. I am not doing a good job getting the word out, except on this show. I'm going to do my best to do that. There's no book to buy, though. So this time, just show up. We'll talk about, we'll give you all we need on the, all you need on the program. All right, let's look at the Mass readings now for Sunday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time. Now, just to frame things, there are 33 weeks in Ordinary Time. Actually, 34. There's 33 weeks in Ordinary Time, and the 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we're at 20. We're headed to 34. Doing the math, we are more than halfway through the liturgical year. And of course, what happens at the end of the liturgical year? We begin, the next week, we begin Advent. So we start a new year. So that's where we are. Just to put things into perspective, let's look at the Mass readings. And you know, this is a good series of readings. There's a lot of good messages that we can take from these readings. I'm going to look for the common thread, though. There's always a common theme. There could certainly be more than one common theme, but I'm going to look for, ask the Holy Spirit to inspire me for the common theme for these readings. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, observe what is right, do what is just. For my salvation is about to come, my justice about to be revealed. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord and becoming his servants, all who keep the Sabbath, free from profanation, and hold to my covenant, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Now, we'll talk more about this when we get to the gospel. But the thing for us to remember: originally, Jesus came to the Israelites. Or he revealed himself. He was revealed himself primarily to the Jews, but then he extended his mission to the Gentiles as well. So those of us who are not of Jewish ancestry, we are privileged because we are also called to be part of the covenant with the Lord. So keep that in mind and be grateful. You know, this is not, sometimes it's, there are families who pass down wealth to family members. You know, the wealth stays in the family, maybe a big company, a big family business or something. And there's some favoritism showed to members of the family. Here's a neat thing about the Lord. We are all members of his family. There's no outsiders. The only way we're going to be an outsider with the Lord is if we make ourselves an outsider, if we don't really embrace him and try to get close to him. We can make ourselves outsiders when it comes to the Lord, but that doesn't mean he's not going to keep after us, keep trying to draw us close to himself. So you want something to be happy about? That's really something that should make you feel good. The Psalm 67, O God, let all the nations praise you. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth, among all nations, your salvation. May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the people's iniquity. The nations on earth you guide. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him. We have a lot of division in the world today. We have a lot of different beliefs, different brands of Christianity, different denominations, if you will, of Christianity. And there's Judaism, there's Islam, there's all kinds of different religions, all claiming to worship the true God. But there are differences. Ultimately, let's just take a step back and look at this, because we live in a world where nobody can claim absolute truth. In other words, I can't claim that my religious beliefs are correct, because that might offend you. But if you think about it, the truth is the truth. So if I have one truth and you have a conflicting truth, well, one of us is wrong. It just has to be that way. You can't have multiple truths which conflict. There's either the truth or something that's not true. And we tend to, in our world today, this politically correct world, we tend to hear the message that you can't impose your beliefs on somebody else. And look, I'm not saying we go around and we give people a hard time because their beliefs, their religious beliefs, don't line up with ours. We're called to proclaim the truth, but we do it out of love, and we do it in such a way that doesn't involve yelling at people, cursing, or violence. That's wrong when we start to do that. So we always want to keep that in mind when we proclaim the truth. We're called to proclaim the truth, but do it in a lovely, loving way. No matter what people believe, okay, no matter what people believe, there is one God. And we as Catholics believe we have a handle on that God. Our Heavenly Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. That is the real God. Our faith teaches us that. Jesus Christ, we believe, founded a church, and that's biblical. And that church is the Catholic Church. And other people could say, oh, you Catholics, you're so egotistical. You think you are right. Well, let's face it. Somebody has to be right. And if I'm not a member of the church that I believe is the one true church, and if you look in the Bible, which is the written word of God, it's pretty clear that Jesus Christ founded a church. If you doubt, look at Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. But if there is one church, and again, there are other Bible verses that support that there is one church, we got to find out what the one church is. So there is one church, and we can argue about my church or your church. We as Catholics believe we are members of the one true church. And again, there is one true church, just a matter of which one is it. But there's one God. I can believe in a different God than you believe in, but that doesn't make it true. And this is not rocket science, is it? I mean, this is very basic stuff, but it gets distorted in today's world because nobody can be wrong. Well, somebody can be wrong. And if two people disagree about something and one of those people has the truth, I mean, it's possible both of them can be wrong, but if you got somebody who's proclaiming the truth, the other person says, no, I know something else to be true, somebody's wrong. So let's just leave it at that before we all get confused, including me. But there is one God. There is one universal God. And He loves the terrorists in the world as much as He loves you and me. And we got to remember that. He loves mass murderers every bit as much as He loves you and me. He might not be pleased with their actions, you see, but He loves them. So therefore, what can we take from that? Well, we have to love them too. It doesn't mean we can't say that their actions are wrong. It doesn't mean we can't convict them of crimes going through the legal procedures, but we have to love them in some way. So it's a good idea to pray for those who are doing acts of violence. It is a good idea to do that because God loves them. Sorry about that. I just knocked my headphones off my head. I got so excited. Anyway, okay. That was ugly. I'm not going to even edit that out. I'll just let you know those kind of things happen. And the second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I glory in my ministry in order to make my race jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, just as you once disobeyed God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now disobeyed in order that, by virtue of the mercy shown to you, they too may receive mercy. For God delivered all to disobedience, that He might have mercy upon all. We're going to just take the message from this reading of the God of St. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Remember I said Jesus originally came to preach His message to the Jews, the chosen people. Well, that was extended, and Jesus, when He met St. Paul, traveling on the road to Damascus when He was on His way to persecute Christians, Jesus handpicked Paul to deliver the message. He was called Saul at the time, to the Gentiles. The message of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, His covenant extends to all people. There is nobody excluded from the invitation to join the heavenly kingdom and to live with the Lord in heaven. There's nobody excluded. People can exclude themselves, but according to God, He loves everybody the same. And this is such a powerful message. Because I get excluded from things all the time, and it doesn't make me feel good. And I'm sure you have experienced the same thing. Now, the gospel today is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." Well, he said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed at that hour. It's very interesting because in my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast, I just read this exact Bible passage, this gospel passage, with to deliver the message that we should continue to ask for what we need, even if initially the Lord might not seem to answer. Jesus was silent when this woman came up to him, and she repeated, she persisted, and yeah, the message sounded a little bit nasty. Part of that is due to translation. Part of it also is due to the fact that Jesus was testing her faith. Not that he didn't know what her faith was all about, but this is how we grow in faith when the Lord sometimes does this to us. We might not like it, but he requires us to keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, and humble ourselves to keep asking. A lot of times our pride gets in the way. Have you ever done that? You're praying for something and it doesn't come true, and you get mad and you say, "You know what? That's it. It's the last time I ask. I'm not going to waste my time." And we go on, and we get mad at the Lord. It's okay. He can take it, but we want to eventually get to the point where we grow a little bit and we start to realize that He does know best. He knows best. He loves us. He wants to help us. Okay. So as a result, sometimes what he has to do, he has to stretch us a little bit, and stretch us he will do. Don't be panicked when that begins to happen. So what happened was the woman persisted. Jesus eventually rewarded her faith. The message today, the overall message when you look at all the readings, is there is one God. He is over everyone. He loves everybody the same. Nobody is excluded. That's the message today, the theme for the readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Be thankful for that. You are not excluded, and you therefore shouldn't exclude anybody else. Don't write anybody off, or don't neglect to pray for people and extend an invitation, the invitation of the Lord to join His church, to come and worship, you know, invite somebody to church, to go to confession, whatever it is. Don't forget to do that. All right, I'm going to take a break now. When we come back, Dr. Alan Schreck will be here to talk about the Holy Spirit. Yours truly will be back at the end to wrap things up. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Block Talk Radio.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When TV host Mike Rowe met retired Army Staff Sergeant Travis Mills in Washington, D.C., he was astonished at the condition of the man standing in front of him. It wasn't just the fact that Travis was a quadruple amputee with two prosthetic arms and two prosthetic legs. It was also that his spirit was shockingly upbeat. When Mike asked what happened to him, Travis explained an IED in Afghanistan had destroyed his limbs. Despite that, he said, "I'm not a victim, Mike, and I refuse to be portrayed that way." Instead, Travis focuses on his wife, his child, and on helping wounded veterans adjust to life with their injuries. On Facebook, Mike Rowe observed, "Travis may be missing more than a few original parts, but he's also missing all traces of self-pity." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Our next guest is Dr. Alan Schreck, who's a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He specializes in Catholic doctrine, church history, and the teachings of Vatican II. He has written many books, including Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience. I really love this book. And so I invited Dr. Schreck to come on the show to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. He joins us now from Steubenville. Dr. Schreck, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone.
thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy. I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. You and I have exchanged some emails about this. I think that the Holy Spirit, and I know for most of my life as a cradle Catholic, I think the Holy Spirit is very much underappreciated, Dr. Schreck, and I think very much misunderstood. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Underappreciated because we don't really expect the Holy Spirit to make a real practical difference in our everyday lives. We believe in Him, and you know, doctrinally, but I my book was to sort of really talk about, well, what is difference does the Holy Spirit really make in our lives, or should make in our lives?
Yeah, and I like in your introduction, you talk about when you were in college, you ran into somebody who said, do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And you said, I certainly at the time had no idea what it meant to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I think, Dr. Schreck, many of us can understand a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. We can understand a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is a person, a human person and a divine person. But the Holy Spirit, that's tough, isn't it?
Yes. You know, when I read the New Testament, and, you know, we all hear the Bible and the New Testament, Old Testament read in church, and yet, you know, Jesus makes these tremendous promises to his disciples. He says, you know, unless I go, I can't send you the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then right before he ascends in Acts, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so Jesus is, it's almost like he's saying, you know, I've given you, you're all in training now, but when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, mm-hmm. things are going to change. And I think that, and we receive the Holy Spirit as Catholics in baptism and confirmation, but I think a lot of us don't really expect and look for a real change in our lives, the sort of thing that Jesus seems to be talking about.
And I totally agree, and that's one of the, that's why I've been obsessed, if you will, for lack of a better word, with learning more about the Holy Spirit within the past several years, because I want Him to work in my life. And I look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit as detailed in sacred scripture, and I look at my life and I think, wait a minute, I'm missing something here. So what would you say to someone who wants to really invite the Holy Spirit into his or her life? Where do you start?
Well, it's pretty simple. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive.
Wow.
And in one of that passages, he says, how much more would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Mm. Now, we have received the Holy Spirit in our sacramental life as Catholics,
yeah.
But it's almost like just simply praying for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh, to come anew into our lives, to make a difference in our lives. And I think it's not rocket science to say, ask the Lord, just say, Lord, I really want to be more open to the power and the gifts and the graces you would have me receive. And even be specific, you know, I need more fruit of the Spirit, I need more joy, I need more peace. They say I should witness to my faith. Help me to have that boldness like the first apostles have. I need more of that. And just come to the Lord out of the need and say, Lord, I know you've said the Holy Spirit does all these things. Just come and do it in my life.
You make a great point. It's not rocket science. It's so simple. Maybe that's why so many of us have a hard time with it, you know, to just ask for that. I think it's fascinating that the Holy Spirit will not force his way into our lives. Even though he's there, he waits for us to invite him to. And would you agree that for the most part, the Holy Spirit acts internally by giving us suggestions or prompting? He doesn't just force us to do certain things. Would you agree that that's a true statement?
Yeah, in our liturgy yesterday's first reading or second reading was about the Holy Spirit, or in the first reading, like Elijah, the God was in the tiny whispering sound. I think the Spirit generally works with these gentle, quiet promptings, and this is why we need to have time to pray. And St. Paul says we don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays within us. So I think we just have to take that time to pray and then learn to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit in our everyday life. Just, Lord, what would I have you do? Sometimes we just get a little quiet sense, or we're reading scripture and something comes alive. That's the general way the Spirit works in our everyday lives.
And what would you recommend? I mean, I think one of the struggles that we have with the Holy Spirit is that he is a spirit, and he's pictured at different times as a dove, as fire. We have an easy time picturing Jesus Christ as a person. I have an easy time, relatively easy time, picturing God, my Heavenly Father, as a person. But the Holy Spirit, how do I start that relationship with him and picture him as a person? Do I just do it by speaking with him?
Yes. I think it would be a misdirection to try to put a face on the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I think one of the early fathers, I think who was Cyril of Jerusalem, talks about the Spirit as like a divine friend. Even the word advocate, paraclete is advocate, is one who is at one side.
Mm.
And so Jesus is sent, he says, it's good that I go away, but the Spirit will be with you. Just say, we don't have to put a face on him, just talk to him. Just, Holy Spirit, I know you're with me, you know, so strengthen me, guide me, empower me, give me gifts that I need to serve others and to love. You know, so just speak to him. Don't put a face on him, but just realize he is a divine friend. The friend, I say he's the friend who's closest to our heart. And by
right.
saying a friend, it's not to minimize his divinity, but
yeah.
to say he is the one who is with us in daily life. Jesus sent him because he was going away, but the Lord God is always with us, with the Spirit at our side, you might say.
That's certainly a good start. The book is Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience, by Dr. Alan Schreck. Now, Dr. Schreck, I can be a pretty sneaky person sometimes. One of the things I like to do is when I get a really great guest on the air, I like to say on the air, to ask the question on the air, would you come back and continue this discussion? So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Schreck, would you come back with us?
Well, if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I better say yes. This is a chance to witness to the beautiful part of our faith. Sure, I'll come back.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, because I want to get into more about the Holy Spirit. I just scratched the surface because I thought we should go slow today just to plant the seeds, because if anybody's listening, I want them to know that it's possible to get to know the Holy Spirit and to have him work in your life. And at some time, Dr. Schreck, as we continue to explore this, I'd like to get more into the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement, which I know is something near and dear to your heart. And I think I would love to have you talk more about that.
Sure, I would be glad to do that, Gary.
Is there a place online? Where's the best place where we can maybe follow you or get a copy of your books?
Well, this book and my book on the Charismatic Renewal is from Word Among Us Press. And
okay.
I'm sure it's just on Amazon, or that's probably the best thing. You can just get it through Amazon.
And I will have a link at spiritinthemorning.com. Dr. Alan Schreck, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. God bless you.
All right, God bless you too.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Matthew 19:3, some Pharisees asked Jesus if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever. Jesus responded by quoting scripture that a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. So they asked why Moses allowed divorce. Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce. But from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, commits adultery." When my father died several years ago, I realized how much I had always related to my parents by their relationship to each other. It was tangible and alive. Now I recognize it as the presence of Jesus holding them together. Mere creatures can never remove such a presence from their lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Serpa, and I'm back. Thank you so much for tuning into the program today. Remember, if you have any questions, to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember that nobody is excluded from God's love. So keep that in mind as you encounter people throughout the day, throughout the weekend, and throughout the rest of your life. God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend again. And remember that God is with you no matter where you go. God bless you. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.